जय रमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बागी बनजारी
Swami Srila Prabhupada. And he's the whole Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada, Sri Advaita Garadha, Sri Vasari, Gaura Bhakti Vrindakija, Sri Sri Radha, Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Kija, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam Kija, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Kija, Vaishnava Kuti Kija, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the Asama Devotees. All glories to the Asama Devotees. All glories to the Asama Devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, text number 15. I was so very happy to see Nagaraj this morning because I've been racking my brain for a meter for this verse. And I kind of made up a couple that I thought were nice, but I wasn't sure. And then I saw Nag. I said, what? He said, oh. And then I said, oh, yeah, right. Yad kirtanam yad smaranam yad ikshanam yat bandhanam yat shavanam yat ardhanam lokasya sadya vidunoti kalmasam tasmai subhadra svavashe namo namaha yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat bandhanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
yat bandhanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam
lokasya sadyo vidunoti
kalmasam tasmai subhadra svavase namo namaha
tasmai subhadra svavase namo namaha
yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat vandanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
yat vandanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam
lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam
tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha
tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha.
That was the expertise of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Said he could sing the Bhagavatam in three particular beautiful meters. He was known for that. And please chant.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam
yat vandanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
lokasya sadyo tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha
tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam
yat bandhanam yat shravanam yat arhanam
yat bandhanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam
lokasya saddo vidunati kalmasam
lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam
tasmai subhadra
shravase namo namaha yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat vandanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat vandanam yat shravanam yat ardhanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Yat. Whose? Kirtanam. Glorification. Yat. Whose? Smaranam. Remembrances. Yat. Whose? Ikshanam. Audience. Yat. Whose? Abandhanam. Prayers. Yat. Whose? Shravanam. Hearing about. Yet. Whose? Ardhanam. Worshipping. Lokasya. Of all people. Sadhya. Forthwith. Vidunoti. specifically cleanses, kamasam, effects of sins. Tasmai, unto him, Subhadra, all auspicious, Shravase, one who is heard, Namaha, my due obeisances, Namaha, again and again. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sublime form of religious performances to free oneself from all reactions of sins is suggested herein by the greatest authority, Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting temples to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of the glorification of the Lord mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can also be performed by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodic music and by recitation of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of the Lord, of Lord Krishna or Rama, can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitively that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed, and thus the performer of offenseless kirtan has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers also can give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. One should not concoct forms of devotional service. One may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get free from the reactions of sins, providing one is very careful about not committing sins willingly in expectation of getting free from the reactions by worshiping in the temple or by offering prayers in the church. This mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called namno balad yasyahi papabuddhi, and it is the greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins. And in order to give special stress to the hearing process, the Goswami invokes all auspicious fortune in this matter. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmanitam Yinakasmai Sri Guru Namaha Mukham Karuti Vachalam Pangun Lam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dimitarina Avancha Kalpatudubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste nectar, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow. That was the first reaction I had when I read this verse. Wow. This is such a potent verse. So much information and so much practical guidelines are crammed into here. I mean, you know, yes, it is true that every verse of the Bhagavatam is potent. But I think it's fair to say that some verses have a particular potency, a particular poignancy about them. That is to say that they bring about a keen and strong mental appeal that affects and moves one to an emotional level in the spiritual sense. So, you know, this is, to my way of thinking, such a verse. It's extremely powerful in its simplicity. The information delivered here is not of some very deep, high philosophical point. It's not trying to understand the layout of the planetary systems and the movements. It's not trying to understand the variations of the different Vishnus as they expand from one to the other and the placement of all of these different things. It's very simple. Engage in devotional service. Here's some basic principles on how to do it. So it's very wonderful in that sense. And it should give us a sense of enlightenment. I mean, actually, this is the whole purpose of studying the Bhagavatam, is to become enlightened, to become enthusiastic, to become happy about this process of studying the Bhagavatam and engaging in devotional service. So, you know, therefore, when we find a particular verse that reaches out to us in such a way, as I say, such a poignant way, with such relevant information, we should become a little bit excited, you know? I mean, we spend a good portion of our life going through our humdrum day, you know, just kind of, all right, well, I did this, I got in the car, I went to work, I did my thing, I came home, I, you know, that thing. So, you know, as devotees, we want to shake off that humdrum. It's not very enlivening, you know. We want to be energetic. We want to be spiritually alive. So, you know, verses like this that reach out to us in a specific way, and it may not be this verse. Everyone is going to have a different type of reciprocation with the Bhagavatam. But that's the important point, the reciprocation with the Bhagavatam. You don't get a reciprocation with a friend if you don't give anything. You know, you have to put something into the relationship to get something out. Every husband and wife knows this. You have to put something into the relationship to get something out. I did some small thing the other night. I didn't even think about it. Just my wife didn't even ask for it. I just thought, oh, this would be nice to do for her. And she was so grateful. Because these types of exchanges, they give that reciprocal relationship. It's the same with the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should not think that the Srimad Bhagavatam is mere pages and paper and, you know, printed words. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a living personality. The book Bhagavad and the person Bhagavad. This means there's a living personality there. And as we reciprocate, as we study, as we give to, Bhagavatam will give to us. So it's not unusual to find a verse that particularly impacts us or connects with us. We don't connect with every person we know. This is a very, very large community, and we don't have intimate friendships with everyone in this community. There are certain people we do. So we can say the same, 18,000 verses. Not every single verse is just going to blow us away. But there will be some like that. So that's a very good thing, and that's something we should look for in our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in this particular verse, there is a very repetitious use of the Sanskrit word yat. And it's actually quite significant because it refers to the active pronoun whom. Whom the act of glorification is for. Whom the remembrance is of. Whom the worship is directed towards. I was listening to one lecture and Prabhupada was speaking, and it's interesting when you hear Prabhupada say things, you can date the lecture in your mind. Prabhupada saying, they are hearing and chanting about Mr. Nixon.
And then Prabhupada actually stops and chuckles and he laughs. He said, but that will not help us. What Mr. Nixon has said, what he is doing, we do not want that. So you can substitute any, your flavor of political leader in there, or a celebrity or musician, whatever. But the hearing and chanting of these personalities, no. So we're here to find out who is that whom. And that whom is namely Tasmai Subhadra. He who is all auspicious. Now certainly this is not any political leader or any musician or any celebrity, past, present, or future. Doesn't matter who, you can pick anyone. They are not all auspicious. None of us are all auspicious. My wife will confirm that I'm not all auspicious. Sometimes I'm less than auspicious. So we have our particular moods that drive us according to our association with the modes of material nature. The goal of devotional life is to rise ourselves above those modes to become auspicious. Problem is that we are attached to different activities that are influenced by these modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. The Bhagavad Gita gives a very detailed description. I was discussing with some devotees the other day the process of charity, for instance. How to give in charity, in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. How to sleep in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. I found it interesting. There is a new mattress company, and they've got a lot of advertisement going on for sattva mattresses. Mattresses in the mode of goodness. I'm sorry, sleeping is by its nature in the mode of ignorance. So how do we build a mattress or make a mattress that is in the mode of goodness? Anyway, these words are bandied about in our modern society, but the reality is that by this association with these different modes, we become impacted. And that impact, depending on the particular mode and our particular mentality, our particular consciousness, make us more or less auspicious. For most of us, less auspicious. But who is that person who is all auspicious at every time, at every place, in every circumstance? So that is whom is being described here. That is whom is indicated by this word yet. That Tasmai Subhadra, that supreme person who is all auspicious. Now, reading this verse, no doubt causes one to remember one of the most famous verses that, as my dear friend Indraduna Swami always says, that every slokawala has in their arsenal. That's one of his favorite phrases. That every slokawala has got that verse in their arsenal. Whatever the verse is, he's quoting that day. But in this particular case, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archinam Bandhanam Dasyam, Sakya Atma Nivedanam. This is, of course, from the seventh canto, the words of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. And not just Prahlad Maharaj's words, but Prahlad Maharaj's response to the inquiry of his demoniac father. This is interesting because it's not uncommon. Children come home from school and the parents are happy to see them, give them a hug, sit them down at the kitchen table, give them some cookies and milk. And so, what did you learn today? What did you find out in school? You know? So, Aranyakasipu did like this. Prahlad came back from school and took him up in his lap. So, what did you learn today? What's the best knowledge you have learned? That is what Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad. Now, I'm sure that the expected result of any parent when they sit their kid down for the milk and cookies and talk with them is just to hear some very nice things that are pleasing to them about the successes of their child in the day. Well, we read about Abraham Lincoln, or we learned about Ambarish Maharaj, depending on which school you're going to. But here, the response to Hiranyakasipu's inquiry was probably, what we know for a fact, not what Hiranyakasipu was looking for. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Padasevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakya Atmani Vedanam. He describes the 9 different processes of devotional service. Now, it's very significant that it was not devotional service to Hiranyakasipu, which is what Hiranyakasipu was hoping for. I mean, he had taken all this time, conquered the entire universe, and established himself as, to his mind, the be-all and end-all. This is the nature of false ego, isn't it? I'm the be-all and end-all. If anything needs to be known on this subject, or if anybody needs to be consulted, I am it. So this is the nature of the false ego. So he was hoping for something along those lines. Yes, Father, the demoniac way you've taught me, the demoniac example you have given me, this is what I'm learning from Skanda and Ananda, and you know they're doing a very great job. They're doing a very great job of it. And I'm so happy to know this. Hiranyakasipu would have been had his son Prahlad. Yes, yes, good boy, good boy. Prahlad wasn't playing that game. What's that to say? He wasn't having any of it. No, my dear father, the different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, this is what I've learned. Now, of course, we know the whole story. Then becomes very concerned. Where have you learned this? Bring my teachers. Bring those teachers in here because they're teaching you something that I've not approved. You know, there's this big discussion in community circles now what a school is allowed to teach and what it's not. Hiranyakasipu was not very happy to hear devotional services being taught. He was hoping to ban it, as many things are banned nowadays. So, but this was not the answer he was looking for. So this verse comes to mind when we hear this verse from the Bhagavatam, earlier section. Interesting thing about the Bhagavatam when we study it, we find that presentations and topics in the beginning are also, again, broached, confirmed, and established in the later portions too. Different examples, different scenarios, but the principle of devotional service is repeated throughout the Bhagavatam. So, this verse, like the Shravanam Kirtana verse, like the verse today, outlines the 9 processes of devotional service. Now, this is an interesting phrase, devotional service, because it indicates 2 things. It indicates that there has to be some devotion, and it indicates that there has to be some service. Now, although we do hear the word devotional or devotion used in many various circumstances, I'm very devoted to my place of business. I'm very devoted to, you know, my particular political cause or whatever. We hear it used like that. The actual dictionary meaning of devotion is of or relating to religion. So devotion is exclusively a religious idea. Can't be devoted to your car. Can't be devoted to your cats and dogs. Really devoted to taking care of my house. You know, that's not devotion. That may be something else. But devotion specifically relates to religion. And, of course, the meaning of service, we know, is an action of doing work for someone, some activity for someone. So if we take Prahlad Maharaj's words and understand these words, that there are 9 different ways that one can serve Tasmai Subhadra, he who is the most auspicious. And that is what constitutes devotional service. Now, it's interesting, if we look in the word for word in the Sanskrit, I've started trying to do this so they become a little familiar with the different words. So if we look at the Sanskrit, although it's not directly translated into English about how often we should do this devotional service in 9 forms, it is suggested in the transliteration of the word for word. Namaha, again and again. Well, I did it once. Thank you very much. You know, would you like another cookie? No, no, I had one. That's good. Thank you. You want to come to the springs with me? No, no, I went yesterday. I don't want to go. No. Again and again, do devotional service again and again, repeatedly. And just as we often say here in this class, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, eternally studying, serving the Bhagavatam. That study is actual service, you know. So this is something to be done constantly. Devotional service is something to be done constantly. Prabhupada would often speak about other religious traditions where they go to the church or temple, you know, once a week for a couple of hours, depending on the religious tradition, what day of the week that is. And they do whatever religious activity for those 2 hours, maybe three. If you put the coffee break that they have between services there, that's, you know, so that gives you 3 hours. So I grew up in that tradition. You know, you had a morning service and an early morning service and a mid-morning service and coffee hour in between. So you could socialize before you went to the second service. So all right, we'll give you 3 hours. So that 3 hours a week is not what constitutes Nitya Seva. Nitya Seva is something that's done eternally. You commit to it and you continually do it. Just like we often discuss in our deity worship here. You know, those of us, predominantly those of us engaged in the deity worship, or shall we say, mostly north of 50, quite a number of us north of 60, there's a handful of us north of 70, so we're not going to be around forever to do this deity worship, so who will take this up? This is why training younger people in the process of deity worship is so important. Taking initiation, receiving Brahmanical Diksha, learning how to do these different things. Because these services connected to the 9 processes are to be done eternally, again and again. So, very important point to give thought to. How often to render devotional service? Again and again and again. Now, there's another word here, sadhya. And it's a very important word because it translates into English as forthwith. Forthwith indicates something that is coming now. Without any delay, it's coming right away. Not like many times you get shopkeepers, yeah, just not coming. We've any of us that have been to Lohi Bazaar and purchased anything or ordered something to be purchased, we know, you know, you go back 2 days later, like, such and such finished, just coming. So 2 months later, it's still just coming. So not like that. This is translated, this word sanya, forthwith, as coming at once. So that's very interesting. So what is coming at once? That's a reasonable question to ask. What is coming at once? The cleansing of all sinful reactions. Vidnunoti. Cleansed. All sins. Done. Finished. At once. Now in the sales world, where some of us move, this is called, what a bargain! You walk into a store and they give you this really special, wow, what a bargain. So this is how we should look at this. Not all sins, not sins of a certain category, not those that you accidentally did without any knowledge, all sins at once by engaging in this devotional service. That's really a bold and amazing statement. Now, who gets this mercy? Well, if you were born in a Brahmin family, well, if you happen to be in a male body, well, if you happen to have been born in this country or that country, all of these different considerations, designations, material identities. No. Lokasya. All persons, all people, everyone who has engaged in sin, who takes up the 9 processes of devotional service, again and again, all people. So this is very significant. This is an amazing statement here. Now, let's be fair. Some people might say, well, you know, that kind of sounds a little bit exaggerated. Are you sure about that? You know, sometimes you tell a story that's really a little wild or a little hard to believe. And say, ah, come on, really? So, again, in the sales world, those would be called your skeptics. Because, you know, there's the phrase, it's too good to be true. You know, we've all had that circumstance where you've seen a great sign that says, fabulous bargain, it's one day only. Or when I was living in New York on Fifth Avenue, there was always these stores that were having final closing sale. They were having their final closing sale for like 3 years. Closing prices, everything to the wall must go. And 3 years later, they've still got inventory. Really? You've got the same inventory? No, no, we got some new stuff. So it's reasonable to be skeptical. We've all had that small print that shows up on a contract. Well, I didn't sign up for that. No, no, dear sir, you did. Every time we accept, you know, a website or an app on our phones or whatever, or you get a new phone in the mail or, you know, whatever, that you agree to all these conditions. Has anybody ever read those conditions except the lawyers that wrote them? I mean, it's like 22 pages of fine print, 0.06 font. Now, I can't read anything less than 16 font, which is what all my notes are printed in. 0.06 font is what all those fine prints printed in. And there's something in there that's going to come back and get you. So we have a fair reason to be, you know, a little bit skeptical, you know. But here, in this purport, Prabhupada removes all such skepticism with this statement. He says, the authority Sri Sukadeva Goswami has mentioned this. Now, not only does Prabhupada say the authority, okay, but he says the greatest authority. The greatest authority. So, okay, he's a Mahajan, we know that. Okay, that's really elevated. And he's an authority. Okay, that's great. He's the greatest authority. And who's telling us he's the greatest authority? The greatest modern-day authority that we have access to, Srila Prabhupada. So, therefore, if we read this and we think, oh, yeah, that's nice, but I'm not sure. Just read the last two sentences here, and then you'll become sure. You'll be very clearly fixed because you will know that by this process, the greatest authority who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam has guaranteed success. That's what you look for. A lot of times people come into a sales environment, they want to find a particular salesman and they want to make a relationship with that salesman so they can use that salesman's name. So-and-so told me this is the way it's going to be. It happens all the time where it works. You know, get a purchase of an appliance or whatever. Well, you know, so-and-so told me it was going to be on such and such day. You know, they want to be able to quote that person who's an authority, who told me this. So here we can quote Sukadeva Goswami. Now, Prabhupada in the purport then begins to give some details on these different nine processes. Kirtanam. Well, I'd like to do it, but I don't really have any instruments in my home. I'd like to do it, but I don't really sing so well. I'd like to do it, but I can't really get to the temple that often. No! Prabhupada says, kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting the temple to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the deities, hearing recitation of glorification of the Lord mentioned in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can be performed by singing the glories of the Lord and accompanying it with melodious music and by reciting the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's eight. That's eight processes right there. Take your pick. And that's just eight of the very many ways the Prabhupada indicates. So, no excuses. You got eight choices there, you know. Similarly, you know, I mean, much of my life is in this other building that I'm not in right now, and so a lot of my experiences relate back to that. I kind of remember how in the early days, Jayananda's Bhagavatam classes would be a lot about his taxi driving experiences. When I drove Uber, I used those too, but at any rate, so, you know, we have this one road there, and there are seven bays that are 8 feet wide, four rows, of varieties of faucets. Any kind, so many. And I've many times had someone come in and they're looking around and go, is that all you got? How many choices do you want? There's got to be, 600 choices. That's really all you got? You don't have anything more than that? We have 8 choices right here, right off the bat, without any effort. Don't even break into sweat. Just read this paragraph. 8 choices of how to engage in kirtanam, of glorifying the Lord. So we really don't have any reason not to. And this, of course, follows the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his second verse of the Shikshastakam. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. So Lord Chaitanya has made it very, very easy. Prabhupada has referred to there are very many different ways to do this. So right here we have 3 wonderful personalities encouraging us in this process. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sukadeva Goswami. That's a pretty rock-solid bargain. As you would say, an ironclad contract. I got 3 personalities, all highly respected, who put their name, who signed the ink to this. So I can trust this. Okay. These 3 personalities are giving us this ironclad contract. Just take up the process of the devotional service. Now, Prabhupada then addresses a concern that devotees may have. He says, it is a fact that a devotee may become disappointed. The very 2 words don't generally go in the same sentence together, because the devotee is always happy. But identifying with the modes we may be impacted. We may think, oh, I haven't been to the temple in a long time. Oh, I never get to go to Vrindavan. Oh, I didn't get to go to the New York Rath Yatra. And so many other disappointments that we may express in devotional service. But Prabhupada says, these 9 processes of devotional service, all, some, or even one can give the desired result. So, all right, I can't do all 9 of them. I guess there's no hope for me. All right, do some. Oh, I can't do even 4 of them. Do one. Anyone, pick one. So this is the Prabhupada's covering all the bases here, all the excuses. He's heard it all. He's seen all the reasons and material excuses that come up. And one by one, they're being eliminated here. These 9 processes of devotional service, all, some, or even one, can give the desired result. Even the very sound, just the sound vibration of the holy name can do this. There's a wonderful conversation with Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually shows how elevated he considers Haridas Thakur to be, that he goes to him and inquires from him. Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He's it. So everyone should inquire from him. Rupa inquires from him. Sanatana inquires from him. He goes to Haridas Thakur and places an inquiry about how is it that everybody believes. We know that famous section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Haridas Thakur gives that explanation about the phrase haram. And he points out that in the Muslim tradition, this is a very common phrase used to mean something that is sinful, something that's not religious. Prabhupada elsewhere gives the example of being attacked by a pig, and haram, haram, because a pig so on, So Haridas Thakur explains that because that ha indicates here, and Ram, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, these persons get the benefit of saying, oh my Lord Ramchandra. Amazing. So what to speak of those of us who are trying to make a serious endeavor at executing devotional service? Now, Prabhupada goes down a different avenue right here. It's actually a very strong encouragement for many of us. He says, one may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, Or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. Amazing statement. He's not saying being impersonalist. He's saying you may be in an impersonal environment. So, like myself, I grew up in the Christian Protestant tradition. And it's extremely impersonal, you know. Unlike, say, like the cathedrals, where the St. Louis Temple is, just two or three blocks down the street is this huge cathedral. It's actually been certified as a basilica, which is like the highest level of worship in Catholicism. So used to go in there and chant Joppa, you know, the place is just incredibly beautiful. And in that tradition, they have deities of various personalities in different alcoves. You know, St. Peter, St. Paul, Virgin Mary, like this. And you can go and offer prayers to these different persons for different purposes. Even in the Judaic tradition, they worship the book of their scriptures, you know. So in the tradition I grew up, there was a simple plain cross, and that was it. Nothing more. No decorative anything like that, you know. Which Prabhupada referred to that cross as the culmination of the offenses to their guru. So at any rate, very, very impersonal. But even if one is in a circumstance like that and offers prayers to the Lord, those prayers are beneficial. Those prayers can relieve one from their sinful reactivity. So this is a very, very encouraging verse. But along with any encouraging verse in the Bhagavad Gita, there's always that caveat. But one must not willingly be committing sins. Not willingly. Now, Srila Vyasadeva gives us these 10 offenses to the holy name. And of course, we're all very familiar with the 7th offense, that it is the great offense to commit sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. To think that I'm doing these sinful activities, I'll just chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy name of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, whatever mantra I've got, and I'll be relieved of all this. So this is considered to be the greatest offense that one can commit. In any one of these 9 processes, I'll just do them after I engage in whatever sinful activity. It's a very bad mentality to have. The story of Ajamil and the conversation, not so much with Ajamil himself, but the conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas, and ultimately the conversation between the Yamadutas and Yamaraj himself, gives very detailed instructions on this subject matter. We won't go into all that here. You're all very familiar with it. But the understanding of how powerful the holy name is and how cautious one has to be in committing sins. So this activity, this mentality, and Prabhupada would here again refer to some traditions where one goes to the church once a week and confesses their sins. You know, please forgive me. And then you're given a prayer to say, and okay, you're good now. Okay, you're back to zero. Great. Now let me go out and pile it back up again this week and come back next Sunday and get another prayer. Okay, back to zero. Prabhupada compares this, that classic example of the elephant goes into the water and bathes themselves, taking their trunk and throwing the water all over themselves, becoming clean, and then they come out and they take the dirt and throw it all over themselves. Now, the principle is it is kind of like what we would call talcum powder, kind of, you know, but it's dirt. You just washed all the dirt off, and now you're coming and rolling it again. What's the point? So the same thing, if we're committing these sinful activities and then freeing ourselves by some prayaschitta, and then committing these sinful activities and then freeing it, it's not going to carry like that. So Prabhupada closes this purport with a very important instruction on how to avoid this mentality. He says, hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sinful activity. Again, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. If one is engaged in devotional service, one of these 9 processes, with sincerity, but particularly is hearing then one gains the conviction, gains the strength to prevent these sinful activities. This means that our chanting, our hearing of the Bhagavatam, our hearing of lectures, hearing of devotional audio books, listening to the kirtans, any of these things, as Prabhupada says, in very many ways, this can keep us on the straight and narrow. Of course, now when I was a much younger individual, you didn't want to be called straight. God, you're so straight. It was like an insult, you know? No, what can I do? Grow my hair long, wear funny pants, put patches all over them, you know, smoke this, listen to that, anything, so I won't be straight. But no, actually, we want to be straight and narrow on the path of bhakti, path of devotional life. We want that. We don't want to be wavering, you know. What was the word far out? God, he's so far out. Yeah, he's way far out there, engaged in so many simple activities. No, straight and narrow. So Prabhupada says, by this process of chanting, by this process of hearing, rather, it's going to keep us strictly on guard against all sinful activities because we stay informed, we stay aware. And then the final concluding glory of this particular purport, encouraging us about the execution of this hearing. Prabhupada says, therefore, the greatest authority, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, invokes all auspiciousness to one who does so. So we already discussed in the beginning how sometimes we're auspicious, sometimes we're not. Sometimes this mode, sometimes that mode. I always think of it, there was one brahmachari when I was growing up, and you could tell, it was so easy to tell just by looking at him, the modes had the poor guy. And this was the majority of the time. Prabhu, you doing okay today? And he would respond, oh, you know, it's that old rascal mind in the three modes. And that was his pat statement. Yeah, it's that old rascal mind in the three modes. Well, give it up. Quit embracing them. So how do we do that? By this process of hearing, Sukadeva Goswami says, it will invoke all auspiciousness. So there we go. Prabhupada approves it. Lord Chaitanya approves it. Sukadeva Goswami approves it. It's a very simple process. If we hear, we'll stay straight and narrow. We won't engage in sinful activity. We'll be able to enthusiastically engage in any, all, or even one of the nine processes of devotional service. And boom. It's nectar, as my friend Kalasambhai would say. Nectar, Prabhu. So we'll finish there. Maybe just a couple of questions, if there are any. I have to rush off to that other building that I spend half my life at. Anyone? Nobody? Ron, I would have been offended if you hadn't.
I was contemplating your presentation was very nice. I really appreciate that. But I was contemplating within me what that hearing will retain in the heart and how.
Say that again?
How this hearing is going to stay in the heart. How am I going to retain? If I... So, 6.8 Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, jnana vijnana tiptatma. You have to make the acquired knowledge into realized knowledge through the contemplation, otherwise it won't stay and it will satisfy. So, related to that, and this is the most auspicious hearing and contemplating and then acting, applying in my life, then I'll see some purification, transforming my consciousness, I'll be thinking different way than before, and it will satisfy, and it does. I see that within me even. I'm not advanced, but still I see it's working.
We have to.
How do we create an atmosphere in Alachua where we can actually draw temple should be filled or something like that.
Prabhupada says it right here in the end. Hearing. Hearing is essential to keep ourselves strictly fixed.
No, I understand, but how do we feel the answer?
Oh, the answer is right there from Prabhupada. Yeah,
no,
please.
No, Prabhupada answered that habit is a second nature. But how do we bring to pay attention to the practice?
Nitya Bhagavata Saraya. Practice.
Habit is a second nature, so practice.
Yes, practice.
No,
practice.
But the question is not that. The question is how do you bring them?
By practice. Yeah. You have to practice at it. In the beginning.
What do you mean practice? You go and grab everybody from the house?
We need to bring others in by developing that spiritual culture. And that spiritual culture is developed by steady and regular devotional activities, any of these nine. That develops a spiritual bubble, if you will. And eventually, that's going to become so large, it's going to engulf more and more and more. 1996, when I moved here, first of all, this building wasn't here. Second of all, nothing developed on the property. There was no, you know, pavilion. There was no big, none of this. But more and more people come. More and more people practice devotional service. More and more people engage in the nine processes. And the spiritual energy expands. That's the nature of the spiritual world. It's ever increasing. So that doesn't mean only increasing inside these four walls each morning. But it means increasing metaphysically and spiritually into the greater community. I mean, otherwise, how is it that so many of us work in so many different places and those people have become exposed to the principles of Krishna consciousness by being exposed to us? So the more we practice, the more of an example we become, and the more people will look to that and respect it. So it does go back to the question you keep saying, no, not that. Practice, practice, practice. The more we engage in devotional service, the larger and more potent the spiritual energy becomes, and the further it spreads. I'm going to finish.
And looking at the people, the same people I see for the last so many years.
Yeah, last 30 years. I see people I've known for 50 years. They come in also. We have new people here too. I mean, there's our example right there. You never know, the Amazon driver that comes to your door might just be chanting 16 rounds also. All right, I do have to finish here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.